Now, speaking of signal quality that is produced by these little cards, some of you might have known that if you just sort of throw the components on and do not adjust it properly, you'll get a signal. But if you looked on it on a scope, you would see a really ratty signal, or if you overdrove it, you'll see flat topping. All of that bad signal produces harmonics and spurious signals and things that are not good for radios. You want to make sure that you've got a good signal quality coming from your DDS card or from your local oscillator or from your you obviously want to have a good signal coming out of your transmitter. So what's a person to do when trying to find out if you've got how do you find out if you have a basic setup in your lab, in your shop, in your radio shack, and you don't have any fancy equipment like Mark does in his room, how do you know if you've got a good signal? Any ideas?
Ask somebody else,
okay.
Osmosis.
And if you have a receiver, see if you can sing it. Listen for harmonics.
Wait for the notice from the FCC.
Or wait. You have to have a good receiver.
Yes.
Yep.
It has to be a good receiver. You don't want to narrow the problem.
All right. Well, driving home from Dayton, the Dayton Hamvention last May, Joe and I were thinking about this problem. How do you determine if you've got a good signal if you don't have a fancy schmancy spectrum analyzer, or if you just have a mediocre receiver, or if you just don't know what you're doing when you're looking for harmonics? What do you do? Well, Joe's going to talk about what could become the next Atlanticon kit. That is the kit that we give away for free to everybody attending the Atlanticon QRP forum in spring. But we'll hear about it here.
Okay, this is the gadget that George has been talking about. Coming back actually from Dayton last year, we were kicking around some ideas for something that would be useful, something to be relatively easy to build, kind of have a theme thing for Atlanticon. And the idea that came to fruition may or may not become the Atlanticon kit, but what we were able to actually build is something we call the signal quality monitor. What you want to do, as George pointed out, when you want to see if you have any off-frequency components in a signal from a transmitter, a VFO, your DDS, is without using a spectrum analyzer, you want to have some ability to look at the entire spectrum of signals and to ignore the main signal, the one you're looking for, and look for the residual. So this signal quality monitor is something that does that. The idea is that it has, from our favorite manufacturer, Analog Devices, it uses a logarithmic detector chip, which has a very wide dynamic range to look for RF, signals. We've combined it with a National Semiconductor graphical display chip and an LED bar graph that gives you indications across, in this case I think it's something like 50 dB dynamic range. It'll show you every 5 dB whether or not you have a signal there. And the idea is that you set this thing up with the known signal, with a desired signal, to full scale, and then we have a tuned circuit to notch out the fundamental carrier, and then look at the residual of whatever's left, and you see how far down attenuated logarithmically, or in dB, how far attenuated the remaining signal is, and that tells you the off-frequency components. Fairly simple construction, not too bad. The only wrinkle in it is that this Analog Devices chip is a surface mount device. You're going to have to use a carrier of some sort with it. But very simple, standard components, very, very few adjustments. This is George's breadboard. I don't even have my breadboard yet together yet because I don't have the components. But it looks like it's something that's easy to build, something that could be quite useful. In addition, if you didn't want to use it for the signal quality monitor, having this logarithmic detector chip and this bar graph display, we can use that for a number of other applications in the ham shack to look at RF. Oh, George is actually going to fire this thing out.
Treat it gently. There you go.
You can use the log detector and the display for other applications in the ham shack where you want to look for presence of RF. And once you've calibrated it with a known signal level, you can tell how much signal you've got. You could use it for as a sniffer, see if you have leakage from a shielded enclosure, or in fact for hidden transmit hunting. There was an article in QST back in 1990 where Rick Littlefield had a very similar circuit to do just that for
RF. So what we're doing here is we're taking the output, the DDS output of the Micro 908. You know, it generates a DDS signal that gets sent out to the antenna, measures the reflections, yada yada. So you've got the signal, a DDS, roughly a 2-volt peak-to-peak signal coming out of here, going into this unit, and as when Joe presses the red button, the bar graph is going to display to a certain point that's going to null out the main carrier, which happens to be at 7 megahertz right now. And then it's going to, the residual bar graph LED illumination is going to indicate when it's calibrated, the amount of energy, the cumulative amount of energy that's being sent out this in the form of harmonics and spurs and other garbage.
Off-frequency signals, yeah.
So if
unwanted.
So if you think of a spectrum analyzer output, for example, you've got a spectrum analyzer that puts out a main signal at 7 megahertz at that point right there, a typical spectrum analyzer is going to look like it's going to have some garbage here, some garbage here, smaller garbage here, smaller garbage there. So each of these points, this might be 14 megahertz, 21, 28, and so on. The degree of goodness for your oscillator, whether it's a DDS oscillator or your local oscillator or your transmitter itself, is how low these harmonics go. If you have a really poorly adjusted, if you have a really well adjusted oscillator, it's going to be probably like that. You'll have this distance between here and the peak. This distance here will be on the order of 40 dB below the main peak of your signal, 40 dB or more. And that's indeed one of the specifications for a well-built DDS daughter card. It's got a harmonics are more than 40 dB below the main signal. If you have a poorly adjusted, like you're overdriving your transmitter, if your local oscillator is full of garbage, you'll have signals that might be like this. If you have clock noise in there, it could look like that. Now, what this signal quality monitor does is it takes this main signal and it notches it out. And then it cumulatively, it adds up all of the extra energy in the area that you don't want. And as long as this total amount of extra energy is a small amount, as indicated on the bar graph display, you're okay. But if it's, and we can actually test this by going into my DDS daughter card and pumping up the gain and really overdriving it, you will see the bar graph array get bigger and bigger. More LEDs will be illuminated. And that indicates a poor signal. So the idea is to have a low signal display on that bar graph array. Joe?
So it's sort of like output minus good signal equals the bad.
Yeah.
And what you're looking at is
the bad. And you want to make the bad as small as possible.
The less the bad, the better.
Yep.
Yeah, this is a good indication here. When we have the tuned circuit off frequency, you see we've got almost all the bars lighted. But then as I stuff to get everybody to see, as I tune this to notch out the main carrier, you can see the residual energies is many, many dB down. because the display.
How far does it look out?
Pardon me?
How far does it look out?
What's the frequency coverage?
Well, the chip itself is good to, I think it's 400 megahertz.
Really?
But the tuned circuits?
You know, the tuned circuits here, we're optimizing for HF usage. You know, depends on how many tuned circuits you want to have in the thing. So we're looking for, you know, harmonics up to a couple hundred megahertz. Harmonics or spurs. This proto is actually working quite well. I'm impressed, George.
You know, when I built that, I finished building this thing last night about 2 o'clock in the morning. Check your email. And it wasn't operating the way I expected it because I thought we were tuning across, putting a bandpass filter across and looking for the spikes. But it's a notch filter.
Yeah.
So now I can understand its operation much better.
What's the cue on the circuit?
Otherwise, you're not notching out the.
You're getting some close in harmonic or close in garbage.
Yeah.
But the assumption is that a harmonic 7 megahertz away is enough to be.
What I mean, if you really want to measure the harmonics and the curve, you have to notch out the fundamental very, very.
Yeah, it has to. Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
And
we're looking.
We have high Q coils.
We're looking at a Q of 100 to 200.
Right. So you're going to need more than one coil out of the HFN if you want to keep the.
We have two in there right now.
Uh-huh.
And then obviously when we get to more options or better refinements,
yeah.
We can put in even finer granularity. But you're absolutely right, Mark.
Yeah, that's the key.
Yep,
you can actually have a plug-in daughter card with different with different filters for different things.
Absolutely.
It could be done. Sure.
Where's the problem with your manufacturing? I can already see the concept of the manufacturing. It's going to be like, how many bars can you see?
How low can you go? Oh, man. No, that's our theme. Our theme is, how low can you go? AtlantiCon 2006.
We do that in the bar. All right, where's the graphing function?
All right, hey, I'm glad that works.
Right,
can you get the data off the PC? What's the user for that?